We're having a quick class going over what do we actually do on Yom Kippur. So our preparations for Yom Kippur begin 40 days before Yom Kippur, actually, with Rosh Chodesh Elul. Every morning we blow shofar, we start preparing our souls, we start preparing our tshuva, 30 days or 29 days within the month of Elul. Then we come to Rosh Hashanah. After Rosh Hashanah, we have another 7 days. We have the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, then Tzom Gedalia, and then, as you know, this whole week, Sunday was Tzom Gedalia, through Friday, through tomorrow. They are the components of the Aseret Yomei Tshuva, with the culmination being on Yom Kippur. So we have 10 days of Tshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah, ending with Yom Kippur. So we're working our way up, and our focus should be Tshuva, Tfila, Tzedakah. Tshuva, we're trying to repent, to fix what we've done wrong, be it between man and our fellow man, be it between us and our Creator. Then there's Tfila, we're expressing more in prayer. We know we have the additions for Aseret Yomei Tshuva, and we add the David Hashem Rivishin, we add Slichot. So, Tshuva, Tfila, and Tzedakah. So every person should give Tzedakah. During Aseret Yomei Tshuva, we ordinarily do Kaparot. Kaparot is that a person takes either a chicken or a fish or money. You can take money, and a person says, this is instead of me. Now, we say it in three different ways. Ze chalifati, ze tmuati, ze kaparati. That's an acronym for the word chatach. Chatach, it says in the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo writes, or the Darkei Moshe writes, is an acronym for the angel that's responsible for life. So that's why we say those words. This is, so to speak, in exchange for me. This money will go to charity, and I will go to a life of longevity. Then we say a chapter of Psalms, which describes how people will be redeemed and saved. And we do it a second time, and then a third time. And then we take that money, or that chicken, and we give it to the poor as charity. A person should try to give as much tzedakah as is logical, as makes sense to give. We're trying to do tshuva, tfila, and tzedakah. Our tradition is that those three will absolve any bad decree against the person. So tomorrow morning, as Ashkenazim, have a short slichot. It's very short, even though we've had long slichot until now. These past week was the lengthiest slichot. Tomorrow's slichot are short. And then we daven shachrit. After shachrit, so again, we should take a haircut. We should get ourselves ready, get our clothing clean. If we're married, we need to have a kittel that's clean. We wear a white garment. Those who are not married, so should still wear nice clothing, Shabbos clothing, to shul. We will not wear our leather shoes or sandals. There are five things which we don't do on Yom Kippur, so we have to prepare for them. We know we don't eat or drink, so we have to prepare firstly by eating a lot starting tonight. You guys should be eating and drinking, and the more you eat, the bigger mitzvah it is, tonight, tomorrow, to the point where the Torah considers it as though you fasted 2 days. The day before Yom Kippur, you have a mitzvah to eat and drink. You won't be able to on the holiday of Yom Kippur. So we eat and drink today as much as possible. And then, tonight, tomorrow, and then on Yom Kippur, you fast. And those 2 days in conjunction, it's as though you've done 2 days worth of mitzvah of fasting. And this idea is not a Hasidic idea. It's an idea that's quoted in Talmud. So we eat and drink as much as possible. So we have the prohibition of achila and shtia, eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur morning, if you're bothered by the fact that you aren't brushing your teeth, you could take a dry toothbrush and brush out your mouth. We just don't put in water into our mouth. We don't rinse out our mouths. Then we have sicha. We don't anoint ourselves. If any of you are accustomed today, there are all kinds of creams people put on. We don't do that on Yom Kippur. Rechitza, we don't wash ourselves, right? So we don't take a shower on Yom Kippur. And when we wash our hands, after one has used the facilities, or if one's hands are dirty, so you clean what's necessary, because you're allowed to clean off dirt, but we don't clean more than that. So in the morning, when we wash Negelwasser, or before prayer, we're going to wash up until the knuckles. We wash, we pour the water, and we stick our fingers in up until the knuckles, just like we did on Tisha B'Av, okay? What else don't we do? We don't wear shoes. We don't wear leather shoes. You can wear your leather belt. You can wear your leather watch. You don't wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur, right? So that's true even for children. There we do train the kids. So you could wear whatever slippers you have. You could walk in socks. If you're going to go outside where there might be broken glass or pebbles that could hurt you, then you're allowed to put on shoes. So a soldier who's on patrol has to put on his shoes, obviously. But in shul, there's no reason we should wear our shoes. So we could wear slippers. We could wear anything on our feet that's not made of leather. Could we wear Crocs? Technically, yes, but it's a little bit defeating the purpose. You're putting on something even more comfortable for Yom Kippur. So that's not exactly the idea Chazal wanted us to do, but technically it's permissible. What happens if you have sneakers that are not made of leather? You have tennis shoes made of canvas, so that's permissible. That's obviously different than leather. You're not having the pleasure of wearing leather shoes. When you come to shul, it's a good idea to take it off. So we're so we don't wear leather shoes, and we are not intimate with our wives on Yom Kippur. So that's why people ordinarily leave the light on in their bedroom, or they leave some kind of light on in their bedroom, because people aren't intimate when there's light. In Judaism, we expect that intimacy happens in a modest way, in the darkness of a bedroom. So we light candles in honor of Yom Kippur. Here in the Machon, they'll light for you. This year, you're lighting them in honor of Shabbat, and also in honor of Yom Kippur. We ask people for forgiveness. If there's anyone that we did anything wrong to, so we're going to ask them for forgiveness. There is a custom that on the eve of Yom Kippur, the Gabbai gives out candies. In the event it was decreed on a person, he should have to ask from people something. So they ask him for the candies, and with that, they fulfilled that decree, so to speak, that they've asked for something. There is a custom to go to the graveyard, that people go to the graveyard and give charity there, and over there next to the deceased they pray, and that helps a person think about the fact that one day he's going to be there and do tshuva. Many people go to the mikveh on the eve of Yom Kippur. Those who feel comfortable, so that's a nice thing to do. It's a very broad custom. If you're not going to the mikveh, at least a person should take a long shower. Ideally, a person should go to mikveh and shower before the afternoon, but you could also go later. We cut our nails. We're coming into Yom Tov well-dressed and well-fed and feeling good. We wear our Shabbos clothes. We daven mincha early, because after mincha is a little bit longer. At the end of mincha, we say vidui. We start saying all the things, al chet shechatanu l'fanecha. If you don't have a machzor yet, take a look. We're going to say this throughout Yom Kippur. We start declaring the different sins we might have done as a congregation. That's why we list many sins that I hope most of us have not done. But we list many things there because maybe as a congregation we've done those sins. Bishvuat shav, swearing falsely, sinat chinam, hating baselessly, tzdiat rea, hunting out a friend, Tzarutayin, being stingy. Maybe we should go through the Al-Chetz, but we'll do that later if you guys want. So we're going to say that in Mincha, because sometimes people during their Suda Mafseket, we're going to have a final big meal just before Yom Kippur. And in that meal, people would sometimes drink wine and they'd end up drunk, and that would shoot their night of Yom Kippur. So the sages want to make sure before you're sitting down for that big meal, the Suda Mafseket, you're going to say your vidui. At least you got a vidui in, and you're coming into Yom Kippur, hopefully, clean. So, for Mincha, we already come dressed, hopefully. We're hopefully already dressed in our Shabbos clothing. And we say the vidui at the end of Mincha. And then we come home to eat the final meal. Hopefully, we've been eating all day. Hopefully, we've had a big meal in the morning. And this is just the final meal, which is usually fleishiks. It has meat in it. Yes? Very often people will come to Mincha already in their Shams clothes. Yeah, that's a nicer way to do it.
For sure, before the Suda Mafseket?
Should be that way. Should be that way. I'm not going to tell you everyone does it, but that's the way it should be. You should shower before Suda Mafseket. Usually you come to the Suda Mafseket after you're showered, everyone's dressed nicely, and it's a Yom Tov meal. It's instead of the Yom Tov meal. So the table is set like Yom Tov. We usually eat challahs like a Shabbos meal. Yeah. If people have medical issues, people are taking medication, they can be psychiatric medication, it could be a person that has a heart condition, it could be a person that has that's after chemo, it could be a person that has a liver transplant, all these different scenarios, it's very likely that a person is not supposed to fast on Yom Kippur. A person has to consult with a rabbi, preferably today. Preferably yesterday, because very often the rabbi is going to say, call your doctor and find out what the doctor says, if it's okay for you to fast. There are two ways in which a person doesn't fast on Yom Kippur. One way is that a person just eats regularly on Yom Kippur, and that's sometimes people are ill, and they have a situation where they have to eat regularly on Yom Kippur. If a person has to eat regularly on Yom Kippur, it's recommended he does it in private, unless he's in a hospital where it's pretty obvious why he's doing it. In our shul, we set up a private room for for people who have to eat on Yom Kippur. They have a room they could go to, and no one has to know about it. Only they know about it. Sometimes a person eats l'shiurim, where the Torah says on Yom Kippur, eating anything is prohibited. Even eating, you know, a Winkie is prohibited. But the prohibition becomes more severe when a person eats the volume of a kotevet. What's a kotevet? That's a date. They had thick dates called kotevet. And once one has eaten that volume, so then it becomes a weightier sin. That's already considered that he ate an amount that really annuls the fast. And the same is true, we don't eat a malo, we don't drink a malo lugma of a cheekful. So if you want, you fill up your mouth as much as possible with liquid, then you spit it out and divide it in two, because we go halfway through the mouth to figure out the cheekful, a malo lugma. Once a person has drank that volume in under 9 minutes, one has done a more severe form of breaking the fast, which again, sometimes medically that's necessary. But if it's not necessary, very often what the rabbi will tell them is to eat or drink shiurim, which means we're going to eat under that volume. We're going to eat and drink under that volume multiple times throughout the day. And a person can really drink a liter and a half or 2 liters throughout the day, every 9 minutes. They take another 30 cc. And figure in an hour they did it six times, so they already got 180 cc throughout the day. Cubic centimeters. Throughout the day they could end up with over a liter. So sometimes I have an instruction sheet for those who need it. You could really eat a lot. You eat the size of a matchbox. That's the volume one could eat every 9 minutes, and if necessary every 4 minutes. And then a person can really eat a lot. I had relatives that did it many years, Yom Kippur, and I'd prepare the food for them. And if you slice up an apple into the matchbox, you could end up with almost half an apple every 9 minutes. That's very satiating. So very often, shiurim is enough for a person, but not always. So that's why a person has to consult with a rabbi. Before Yom Kippur, we're going to light candles. And we should light a Yahrzeit candle, a candle that's going to last 25 hours, for two reasons. We light one because on Motzai Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, we're going to make Avdallah, and we should make Avdallah on a flame that's not a new flame. Because on Matzah Shabbos, when we make Avdallah, so we're making a blessing over the capacity to create fire. Because on Matzah Shabbos, Adam was taught how to create fire. So we create a fire, we strike a match, and we do Avdallah. Matzah Yom Kippur, we're making a blessing of Avdallah because we are again permitted to use fire. It's not about the creation of fire, it's about the that we're again permitted to use the fire. So ideally, we use a flame that was lit since the eve of Yom Kippur. We weren't able to use it before, during Yom Kippur, those 24 hours. Then after Yom Kippur, we make the blessing Borei Morei Aresh on that flame. It is customary that if people lost a parent, so then they also light a Yahrzeit candle for that parent on Yom Kippur. Yes?
This is the case even on Saturday night?
Yes. There's a beautiful blessing that parents bless their children on the eve of Yom Kippur. It's printed in the Machzorim. It's one of the nicest blessings that there are. If you can convince your parents to bless you with that blessing, it's gorgeous. It's a blessing. You bless the child that he should always be connected to his creator, that he or she should find an easy way to make a livelihood. They should find blessing in their livelihood. It's a very nice blessing. It's a little bit long. So kaparos I recommend doing early. Don't wait till the end of the day. You want to get the money to the poor still on the eve of Yom Kippur. And the blessing of the kids also, we sometimes do it in the afternoon, but closer to Yom Kippur, but don't leave it for the last minute. There is a prayer called Tfilah Zakah, which is a prayer that was written about 200 years ago, which describes how I'm accepting the five elements of the fast day. Remember, I'm not eating or drinking, not anointing, not washing, not wearing shoes, and not showering, and not being intimate. So that prayer describes how we're accepting these five types of affliction upon ourselves in this day, and we hope they will purify us. If you have time and you have it translated, it's an exciting prayer to read. So we wear the talis, those of you who wear talisim, we wear the talis before the evening, so as we can make a blessing on the talis. We come into shul, and the first thing we do is kol nidre. What is kol nidre? Kol Nidre is a declaration by three people, the Chazan and the two people standing on his left and right, that we are hereby annulling the vows. Two elders take out the two Sifrei Torah, they walk around the shul, and then they stand to the right and the left of the Chazan, and he makes a declaration, any types of vows that we as a community, that any of us have taken upon ourselves, we hereby want to annul them. We also want to annul any future vows. And we also make a declaration that we're hereby allowing any wanton sinners, what are called the Avaryonim, to rejoin us, even if in the past we've told them we're not interested in their presence. Now for Yom Kippur, we want complete unity, everyone's invited, and that's how we start, and then the day settles in. This year that it falls out on a Friday night, we'll also say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. But first, we make a blessing of Shechianu. We thank Hashem that we made it to this wonderful day. Remember, Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. It's described in the Mishnah as one of the greatest days the Jewish people ever had. La'yu yamim tovim le'Yisrael ki Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says. We haven't had more joyous days than Yom Kippur. It's a beautiful day. It's a day of reconnection. Yes? I don't know what's said there. I don't know. It's a good question.
Actually, there's a way out of it. I don't know.
I would think yes. I would think yes, but I don't know. Okay. So we're going to pray on Yom Kippur. We have to remember to stick in the additions. We have a Ma'ariv with a special tune. And in the Shmona Esrei, the Shmona Esrei itself is pretty short. It's not as long as Rosh Hashanah. But right after Shmona Esrei, at the very end of Shmona Esrei, we stick in the Vidui. We start saying, over all the different sins I might have done, I want to ask forgiveness. And then we list them. We'll go through that later. So you just have to remember, throughout the prayers of the day, you're going to have parenthetical marks. On Shabbos, add this word. On Shabbos, add this word. So this year, you have to add that word. This year, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Okay? Okay, so that's our Friday night. We have Shmona Esrei. We say our Shmona Esrei with the Chazan. Right after Shmona Esrei, we're going to say Vayechulu, like every Friday night. We make a public declaration. We're going to say the short blessing that we say on Friday night by the Chazan. Magen Avot Midvaro Mechei Mitim Imamaro, right? What's called Mein Sheva. And then we start the tunes of the night of Yom Kippur. The first one is Yale Tachanunenu, which is a description how our prayers should go up, be it at night, be it tomorrow morning, and by tomorrow night, all our songs should be accepted before Hashem. And the song expresses this idea in about 7 or 9 different ways. Then we have a short prayer. We declare as a congregation, it is your way, Hashem, to be so patient with everyone, even people who are evil. And so we turn to you and say, for your sake, even if we're not worthy, so see how impoverished we are and cure us and forgive us. Then we say the 13 attributes. And we have another song that speaks about how Hashem should forgive our iniquity and our sins should not arouse His anger. He should be patient with our sins. And again we say the 13 attributes. And then we have a song that describes how we look forward, even though we constantly have a desire within that drives us the wrong way, we're constantly waiting to hear Him say, I've forgiven you. That's the song. The song expresses it in about 10 different ways, but that's the third song. And finally, the fourth song is a phenomenal, phenomenal song. You guys probably know it. Ki hine kachomer biyada yotzer. You guys know the song? We are like clay in the hand of the potter. And the potter can make it wider or thinner. And that's how we are in your hands. Please, Hashem, look at the covenant you've made with us. And don't look at our inclinations and what we've done wrong. And then we go on to the next stanza. We are like the stone in the hand of the sculptor. When he wants, he holds on to a piece. When he doesn't want, he cuts off a piece. That's the way we are in your hands, Hashem. We know you're going to give some people life this year and some people not. So we ask you, look at our covenant, don't look at our desire. Like the axe in the hand of the blacksmith. When he wants, he puts it in the fire. When he wants, he takes it out of the fire. That's the way we are in your hands. We ask you who supports the poor, look at the covenant, don't look at our desires. Like the steering wheel in the hand of the sailor. When he wants, he holds on. When he wants, he lets go. That's the way we are in your hands, etc. So that's and with that we run into Shema Kolenu. You all guys all know, and we have the conclusion with again a vidui. We describe the different sins we're asking for forgiveness for, and Avinu Malkeinu, which we don't say on Shabbos, as Ashkenazim, you Sephardim, I think, do say it on Shabbos. And we end prayer with Le David Mizmor. We say it verse by verse, that chapter of Psalms. And that brings us to Aleinu, the conclusion of prayer. So with that, we've done the intro to Yom Kippur, going into the night of Yom Kippur. Any questions thus far? Okay.